one of the manifestation, or rather, let me use the word qualities that the Holy Spirit produces in us is temperance. That is in control of yourself. And we must remember that. The Holy Spirit does not contradict himself. The Holy Spirit will not be helping us to have self-control and at the same time making us people who are controlled totally by our emotion, depending on how we feel. There are other ignorance that, and you know, even though I'm just relating a few of them up front now, but probably in the discussion tonight some of them will come up, that in the same way the apostle laid their hands on people in the first century and passed on miraculous gift, men and women can do that today. That's lie. That's falsehood. The ability to pass on miraculous power was vested only in the apostles of Christ. That was peculiar to them. It has nothing to do with what God can or cannot do. It's just that the Almighty God had chosen to give the apostles this ability or power to serve the church during its time of infancy until the gospel was completely written. So when you find people, church leaders, these people who talk more about the Holy Spirit than anybody else and yet they understand nothing about the Holy Spirit, when you hear them talking like they lay hand on you and pass on some gift, and then the other person at the end of it, the moment some religious leader lay hand on them, they complicate and multiply the lie. They can immediately them and go on like them are speaking tongue, like them get some gift, and that's a lie. Because these men or women today God does not give them the ability that was for the apostle. Probably in the lesson tonight, I'll go to two passages which indicate, one of them is one most of you know found in the book of 2 Corinthians 12:12. There is a reason why miraculous gifts are referred to as signs of an apostle. It's important that we understand that. This means, the word signs mean miracle, extraordinary thing. And this means miracle, miraculous doing, which only an apostle can do. That's really what it means. Another way to term that is signs, which is peculiar to an apostle. An apostle here is referring to the apostles of Christ. Signs of an apostle. Second Corinthians 12 and verse 12. That term has a meaning. There's another passage supporting that that will come up. So again, we encourage you not to get discouraged if certain things about the Holy Spirit you do not understand. As time goes on, you will understand it, and I'm hoping that lesson like the one we're on now will help you to understand at least some things better. There are various manifestations of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. We look at that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11 last week. I repeat, there are various manifestations, meaning the Holy Spirit operating in Christians, members of the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit manifests himself in various ways. Can still put that another way. The Holy Spirit empowering Christian does not empower all Christians the same way. We won't read that passage. It's found, that's one of the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through verse 11. We pointed out that the manifestation or gift of the Spirit spoken of in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and chapter 5, 32. Last week, I put some things on the board and write it in all red. I'm going to remove this passage and put some of those circles here. Okay, the manifestation. Okay, let me. Well, you should have by now signs of an apostle. Well, I want it. I may have reason to refer to it again, but let me put something else there. Yeah. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Okay. We are going to put these circles again. Like the Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Acts chapter 5, verse 32, I think, both of these passages are talking about the same manifestation. That's right. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice the passage, of course. This gift, that is the indwelling, it comes after, I was about to put after obedience, but it comes after one, believe, repent, baptize, sins removed. That's right. Believe, repent, baptize, and sins removed. This, we see in Acts. The people that ask the question, what must we do? They already believe. It's out of that belief came the question, what must we do? Because they believe, or since they believe, they were told to repent and get themselves baptized. Why get baptized? For the removal of their sin. Remission means removal. Watch what follow now. Sins having been removed, you will receive the Holy Ghost as a gift. That's right. And that's the way it is to this day. When any man or woman believe, repent, and get baptized, the Holy Spirit is given to us. We need the Holy Spirit to work with us, guide us, strengthen us, open our understanding, encourage us, help us to deal with challenges which threaten our spiritual life and our relationship with God. When the Bible speaks about God dwelling in us, Bible shows that that is through the Holy Spirit. Now, so this passage, these two passages, this one talk about repent and get baptized, etc. You shall receive the Holy Ghost as a gift. This one tells you that God gave the Holy Spirit to everyone who obey him. So these two passages are talking about the indwelling, D-W-E-L-L-I-N-G. That's right. The indwelling measure. These two passages. Same thing. Okay? That's one of the manifestation. The indwelling measure is one of the manifestation. I mentioned it last week and may say it again. There are three manifestations in our time. Okay, so the indwelling. Now, what we notice in Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 46. I think, read it for me, please.
While Peter yet speak these words.
That's the passage. While Peter yet speak.
These words. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word.
Mm-hmm.
And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Notice, what you and I are reading here, and what we see here in Acts chapter 10, is different from these.
Yeah.
It's a completely different thing. In fact, follow me now. This is Acts chapter 10, 44 through 46. The only other time you have this is Acts chapter 2. Pick up at the appropriate verse there for me. I want just about two or three verses. When the Holy Spirit descended on them and they began to speak in new tongues. Acts chapter 2, what verse?
And suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Holy, this is the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. Watch here now, quite interestingly. What verse you start reading from?
Verse 2.
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2, verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2.
Verse how much?
2.
Okay, I'm just going to put 2 following. Okay, may I? These 2 manifestations are the same thing. What we see in Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and what we see, I've just read in chapter 2, verse 2 following, this is the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. I want to get this and get this well. Even though you have heard it a million times, I just want to add something that other than these 2 incidents, nobody else have experienced the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Some more detail, Brother Mitchell. Other than on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus Christ fulfilled his promise to the apostles that they should tarry at Jerusalem until they be endowed with power, the day came and we see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. What kind of manifestation? This is the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. Completely different from this. This is the indwelling. In fact, this is also called the ordinary measure. Okay? The indwelling measure is the ordinary measure. May I? This measure does not give the Christian the ability to perform miracle. That's the way God fixed it, because the Almighty God used miracle to create this vast, beautiful universe. But you know what God did right along then? He established a law to run the universe. That means God not going to use miracle to preserve the universe. He made law. Well, I see him here with the church. The church started with miracle. But miracle was never meant to preserve and keep the church going. It's law, the gospel, the law of the gospel principle. Okay? So remember, the ordinary measure given to Christian from you get baptized once you are properly taught, that is what, when you read about the indwelling or the Holy Spirit dwelling us, that's what. And you have incident of that spoken of in Acts chapter 5 verse 32 and chapter 2 verse 38 and other places. The baptismal measure experienced only by the apostles of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost and the house of Cornelius, no other place or person received this measure. I gave you the 2 instances, but I'm not through with it. Look now at Peter's word in Acts 11, verse 15. Peter going to refer to this measure, the baptismal measure. But he's going to say something there that is striking, and don't take it lightly, because it says a lot. Acts chapter 11 and verse 15.
And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning.
Everybody heard that? But Brother Mitchell, that's a simple statement. A lot of simple statements are profound, packed with a lot of truth, lot of enlightenment. Read it again, brother.
And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning.
At the beginning? What? At the beginning of creation? No. At the beginning of what? At the beginning of Christianity. The beginning of the gospel. The beginning of the church. But you know what is striking about this? Watch here now. We have conversion referred to in Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 4. I'm just giving you time to jot it down. Well, let's read it, because let's read it. I wasn't going to read it.
Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000.
You all got that? 5,000 people became Christian. Brother Mitchell, it's 3,000. No, you're mixing up Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. This is a different incident of conversion. But Brother Mitchell, they didn't get baptized. Yes, this is, believe there is a figure of speech, synechgo, ke, which you use one word for the totality. Believe there mean they believe and obey. That's why it goes into detail and give you the total amount and just the men that became Christian. So here we have conversion in chapter 4 and verse 4. We have conversion in chapter 8 and verse 12. Let us hear that.
But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized.
So here is another incident of conversion. We have another incident of conversion in chapter 8, verse 36, involving the Ethiopian eunuch. And somebody said, Brother Mitchell, what's the point? As the lawyer says to the judge, just give me an allowance, Your Honor. You will soon see where I'm heading. So what's the point? You have conversion stated in Acts chapter 4, verse 4. We have conversion stated in Acts chapter 8, verse 12. We have conversion stated in Acts chapter 8, verse 36 following. But when Peter spoke in Acts, chapter 11, verse 15. Watch me. What Peter saw happen at Cornelius' house, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptismal measure, the only one other place or incident that Peter saw that was When they, the apostle, got that gift under their Pentecost, that's the only, when Peter said at the beginning, he was referring to Acts chapter 2 following. Let us hear Acts 11 verse 15 again. And as I began to speak,
the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning.
As on us at the beginning. Peter could find no other example of this. All the conversion in chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 8, verse 12, chapter 8, verse 36 following, all of these conversion, Peter didn't see any example of what happened to Cornelius in any of these. The only place he could find something similar to what happened at Cornelius was what happened to them, the apostle, on the day of Pentecost. So that's why he said, when I saw, that is, that God gave them the outpouring, the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, just like he did to us at the beginning, Peter said, who am I that I should resist God? May I? Acts chapter 2 took place about, well, watch here now. Acts chapter 2 took place about A.D., call it A.D. 30. That's Acts chapter 2, when 3,000 people became Christian, when the apostle received the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. This took place about A.D. 41. That's some 10, 11 years after. Are we all there? The incident of the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit given by the apostle, that was about A.D. 30. 30-32. It was not until about 10 years after. Remember, conversion has been taking place right, left, and center, all over the place. And Peter could find no other example of the baptismal measure he saw at the house of Cornelius, except at the baptismal measure that was given to them, the apostle, on the day of Pentecost. What took place on the day of Pentecost took place about A.D. 30. What took place at Cornelius' house took place about A.D. 41. That's some 10 years after. Are we all there? Okay. So here we have two manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, watch here now. And remember, this manifestation, the baptismal measure, and this, they are completely different. But I show you another one. What we read of in Acts chapter 8. Is it verse 15? Let me hear that, brother. Is it Acts chapter 8, verse 15 following?
Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost.
Read on.
For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Wait. Here again, it's important that we understand this business. He was fallen upon none of them. Christian, it's important that you understand this. He was fallen upon none of them. May I? That passage is not talking, well, it's not saying that none of these people who became Christian in verse 12, that they didn't get the Holy Spirit. It's important that you get this. In verse 12, we are told that
but when they believe Philip preaching
the things
concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ,
they were baptized both men and women. So people became Christian. By the time we reach down to verse 15, we are told that two apostles came to visit them. Here, I think it's Samaria, wherever it was.
Samaria.
Yes. And that he was fallen up on none of them. If you do not understand what the Bible is teaching, you would say, well, here the Bible is stating that none of them received the Holy Spirit. No. You know what, brothers and sisters? In chapter 5, 32, we are told that when men and women obey Jesus Christ, they receive the Holy Spirit right then and there.
That's right.
We are told the same thing in chapter 2, verse 38,
yeah,
that when men and women repent and get baptized, having gotten their sins removed, they are given the Holy Spirit. And the way these passages are worded mean immediately, instantaneously. So we know when men and women repent and get baptized, their sins removed, they receive the Holy Spirit. So the people you and I read about in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8 and verse 12, that many of them believe, repent, and were baptized, that right then after having been baptized and got their sins remitted or removed, they received the Holy Spirit. Then, Brother Mitchell, how comes it says he was fallen, referring to he here is the Holy Spirit, was fallen upon none of them? This now is talking about a different measure, a different manifestation. That manifestation is spoken about from verse 15. I'm going to put 15. It's about verse 17. Read it, brother, because I'm going to prove a point that I've already stated, but it will be seen here from verse 15. Who, when they came, that is Peter and what, James or John?
John.
Yes.
Peter and John.
Uh-huh.
Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost.
There it is, Brother Mitchell. you see, and look here. The people out there with their color turned behind them, and the people out there who talk about the Holy Spirit every second of the day, they will say, there it is. The Bible states plainly that the apostle had to pray for them to receive the Holy Ghost. Because the people out there don't understand that the Holy Ghost is given by measure. Read.
For as yet he was fallen upon none of them.
Uh-huh.
Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
And once you are baptized, and Christ command, you receive the Holy Spirit. How do I know? Acts 2:38, Acts 5:32. That's the indwelling. You need that to assist you in your Christian life. Okay?
Yeah.
So when the Bible states now that only he was falling upon none of them, when the Bible states that the apostle prayed that they might receive the Holy Ghost, but they did not only pray, did it mention anything about laying on of hands?
Verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
Okay, brothers and sisters, this is the miraculous measure. Let me show you another place where this is spoken about. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, and around verse 5, 6.
When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And when Paul had laid his hands upon them,
uh-huh,
the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
Everybody get that? So these three circles are dealing with three different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. They are all different. The one the brothers just read, Acts 8:15 following, 15 following, and Acts 19:5 and 6 is talking about the same manifestation. That is the miraculous measure. That is the measure when the apostle, and only the apostle of Christ could do this, lay their hands on a Christian, the apostle would impart not the indwelling measure that is given by God from you become a Christian if you are properly taught. The measure that the apostle lay hands and impart is the miraculous measure which enable a Christian to do miracles, speaking in other tongues and things like that. That is spoken of in Acts chapter 15, chapter 8 verse 15 following, and chapter 19. You can read from verse 1, it gives you the whole context, but especially verse 5 and 6. So these two passages, Acts 8, 15 through 17, and Acts 19, 5 through 6, they are both talking about the same measure of the Holy Spirit. That is the miraculous measure. These two passages are talking about the same measure. That is Acts 10, 44 through 46, and chapter 2, verse 2 following. This is talk about the baptismal measure experienced only by the apostles of Jesus Christ and the house of Cornelius. Nobody else. I mean nobody else. And this is why Peter, in referring to what he saw happen at Cornelius' house, could find only one other place. 10 years after Acts 2, Peter had to go back to Acts chapter 2 to find an example of what happened at the house of Cornelius. That is the baptismal measure received only by the apostles of Christ and the house of Cornelius. That enable one to pass on these miraculous words. Somebody asked, Brother Mitchell, so Cornelius, etc., could pass on these miraculous gifts? Listen to the answer. I'm not sure. Even though the measure, the baptismal measure, enable one to do that, the Holy Spirit given to Cornelius was for the purpose of convincing Peter and the Jews. That's the purpose. I'll be going in detail in that probably next week when I look at some of the miracles associated with Cornelius' conversion, and for us to look what purpose these miracles serve. There was a miracle in Peter relating to Cornelius' conversion. There was a miracle in Cornelius relating to his own conversion. And then, I'm not talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking when Cornelius got word that he should send for Peter. That was miraculously done. But we are going to show the purpose that these miracles serve. And even the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit experienced by Cornelius, the purpose it serves was not the normal purpose. Okay? So these three measures represent three different manifestations. You have top of the line, the baptismal measure, received only by the apostles of Jesus Christ and the house of Cornelius. Only. Nobody today received that. Anybody tell you that they received the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit? They are ignorant. They are lying. They don't know better. They don't understand the Bible. Then we have the miraculous measure that could give only by one of the apostles of Jesus Christ laying his hand and imparting that gift. And then we have the indwelling measure that is given to all Christians. Look at this passage, last passage, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse, I was going to say read verse 4, but to get context, read from verse 1.
Therefore, we ought to give the more.
It's important, you know. He was falling up on it. It's important that you do not understand this to meaning they had not received the Holy Spirit at all. That's not what it means. The he had falling upon none of them is how Luke the writer used this to describe the miraculous measure. None of them had received this measure. That is in Acts 19. Nobody there this was said in Acts chapter 8, verse 15. Nobody there received this measure. But they had received this measure from the God baptized. They received the indwelling measure. But this is the miraculous measure which could be given only by an apostle. And that's why the two apostles came down, to give them some supernatural gift to strengthen the church. and to qualify these men in the church who were helping to guide the church. Okay? So don't mix them up. These are three different measures. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 4, and that will be referring to this measure. Hebrews.
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
There's a lot of good preaching passing here, but it's time to dismiss. We must never take any of God's truth lightly.
Amen.
We must put out effort to learn and to remember as much truth as we can. That's what that is saying. Put premium on God's truth. Let in the sight of God, God sees that you put value on learning His truth. We are to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. That is, don't forget truth you learn. Oh my God. Yes, let us end time, we let them sit far.
For if the word spoken by angels.
The inspired writer goes on now to tell of the awesomeness of the truth of the gospel. If the word spoken by angel was steadfast.
And every transgression.
So that every transgression
receive the just recompense of reward. How shall we escape?
Who are under this gracious and rich, magnificent, out of this world dispensation of the gospel. How shall we? Escape. If we
neglect,
you hear that? Neglect.
So great.
That is just, you're just gallant. So you have become so accustomed to hear about the gospel and the truth of the gospel that what's the big thing? We hear that already. But if you should get a test to see how much of it you really know, many would fail the test. How shall we escape if we neglect what type of salvation?
So great salvation.
So great salvation, which at first
began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him.
This is one of the verse, just one. There's other verses in Hebrews that tells us that Paul most likely probably is not the writer. While the style and the vocabulary and some other things is just Paul, there are other things said, like what he has just said. Brother Mitchell, me can't see Paul, the writer here, just say anything that tells me that is not Paul. Yes, it is as plain as day, but all of us sometimes read over something carelessly. Yes, read that little part again.
And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him.
Read on.
God also bearing them witness.
Bearing whom?
The apostles.
Notice the writer did not say bearing us. The writer is pointing to the apostle. And in pointing to the apostle, he's giving you the idea that he's not an apostle. The writer is giving you the idea that he is not a part of the group that God bear witness to. It was God bearing them.
Amen.
Not us. That plainly tell me that that is not Paul. Wait. Not only that, the writer is telling that. Well, let me not say that right now. Go on, brother.
both with signs and wonders.
And wonders.
And with divers
and
miracles.
Different
miracles.
Miracles. Wait. Brother McFarlane, that is what is called signs of an
apostle.
So that this what it is referring to there, God bearing them witness, is referring to this measure. That's right. God bear them, not us. The writer is not a part of the people to whom God bear witness. The writer got his information probably secondhand. Or probably he knew the apostle. But he's not one. Had he been one of them, he would say, God bearing us witness. So this is indicative that Paul is not the writer. And as I've said, that's only one place. We're going to stop here. There are more things, as usual, to be shared. But if you have questions on anything that is said, when you come next week, please feel free to ask. Again, everything in this circle is referring to the same manifestation, the miraculous manifestation given by the laying on of the apostles on. Everything in this circle is the same manifestation, the indwelling given to every Christian who is properly taught and become Christian the right way. Everything in this circle represents the baptismal measure experienced only by the apostle of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, that is Book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 2, following, and at the house of Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to verse 46. Now, these three manifestations are different, yet it is the same Holy Spirit. I don't want to overfeed you. Thank you.